It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Let's do this. No, wait. Like, here we are. Who was I talking to the other day? I was talking the other day about how I always go back to Great White North.
Yeah, well.
I either go with, it's 3 a.m. and we're at Peter's Donuts, or I go with, I'm L. Ron McKenzie and welcome to my church.
Welcome to my church.
Did I tell you, there was an interview with Rick Moranis on The Nerdist, and they were talking about it, and did I talk about this on the podcast?
No, I didn't.
Because it's not worth repeating if it is. Oh. Like, but no, it's good one time, but only one time. Okay. So, when, according to what he said on The Nerdist, basically, when they ended up getting picked up in the U.S. for syndication, something happened with the commercials such that one show, either the Canadian one or the American one, had like 3 more minutes of actual content and 3 less of commercials.
For SCTV?
Yes. Sorry. Yes, this is for SCTV. Probably should have specified. This is for SCTV. And so apparently the execs told them, they said, we want the 3 minutes in each one to be Canadian. To which he's like, it's all Canadian. We're Canadians. Most of it's set in Kent. Like,
yeah.
But so he's like, okay, fine. So he came up with what he thought was the most ridiculous, sarcastic, sort of insulting, like make it uber Canadian with all the cliches. Basically to say fuck you to the execs. And everybody, they loved it and everybody loved it. And it took off huge.
And that's why they only had a couple minutes?
To start with, yes.
So Great White North, oh, that's...
Yeah, wild. But no, from that it became hugely popular, and that's when they did the album and the movie and everything like that.
But I mean,
he meant it essentially as a joke.
Right, in the show, it was, you know, specifically, they only had a couple minutes. You know, that was part, the show was only 2 or 3 minutes long.
See, this is where I lose my nerd cred, because my first experience with the McKenzie brothers was Great White North. To be fair, even, I haven't even seen Strange Brew.
No, in SCTV, that was part of the deal, was they only had a 2 or 3 minute show.
Well, now you know why, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That's hilarious, too.
His interview in general, I would recommend it. It's fascinating. He's on there because he makes music now, and he's releasing a new album.
Oh.
But he just has some amazing stories about all sorts of stuff when he was younger. Oh, by the way. Hello. Shit. Welcome. You know why? I've got a note for my bit today, and I suddenly remembered I didn't say that bit. I'm like, oh, that's because we didn't actually do the opening. Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world specifically designed to go for 6.02214129 times 10 to the 23rd episodes, and then it will be complete and the master plan will begin.
The master plan will begin.
Yeah, this is essentially the trigger.
Sort of the prelude.
Yes.
If you will.
For stuff we can't talk about, but that's how many episodes we're going to have, if you were wondering. I should rephrase.
I wasn't wondering.
That's how many the hat is going to have. We will probably be dead long we hit
yes,
that point.
Yes, of course.
You know that number, right?
No.
Oh. Okay, children, bonus points. Who can tell me what number is 6.02214129 times 10 to the 23rd? I'm looking at you, chemistry geeks. Somebody do it. We'll report back.
It does sound familiar, but I can't.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And I think this is episode 124, but I wasn't able to check.
Ooh, I hope you're right.
I think it is.
I
think it is 124.
For those of you brand new to the show, we talk about Rick Moranis for an hour. No. We have a hat. It's magic. It has its own email. You can email the hat yourself with little tidbits, topics, questions, that kind of thing. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com is where you want to do that. Go to themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com and give us a little info that you want us to talk about, because that's what we do. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little pieces of paper, which we draw out of the hat at random, and then we talk about them till we're bored. That's the whole show. So, we had to use our interdimensional evil friends last week because of a great combination of terrible weather and broken air conditioning.
Yep, and that's usually how it goes, too.
Those of you... But we never had a heat one before. We've had storms and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
This was
what
new.
What I mean is that, you know, our air conditioner breaks when it's hottest, which, I mean... In some ways, you might think that's to be expected, but you use your air conditioner all summer long, even on days that aren't really, really hot.
Yeah, yeah.
So it could conceivably break on a day that's not blistering hot, where it's like, okay, it's broken, we can survive today. But
yeah.
No, usually it breaks when it's the hottest day of the year.
And 2 points. One, this air conditioner is older than me. And 2, the air conditioner turned out not to be the problem. It was the power strip.
Yep.
So it's not plugged in right now because it's actually been kind of nice, so... Haven't run the AC the last couple days.
Yeah, it's been really nice.
But, yeah, so we had to do a special mystery one. But we're back now, and it's been 2 weeks. Mm. How was your 2 weeks, William? Oh, before that, do you want some almond milk?
Do I want some almond?
Yes.
Not really.
Why? Not like right now. I have an almost full half gallon of unsweetened almond milk. Would you like to take it home with you?
No.
I thought that's what you use is almond milk.
I guess I don't.
Well, otherwise it's gonna get thrown away. I'll tell you that.
I don't usually drink it, like, or I don't know. I don't cook with it or drink it or anything, but we do have it around the house. I suppose I could take it.
I'm on my own, and I was shopping, and I was gonna get some more milk, and I'm like, you know what? This is my chance. Try almond milk. It's only me in the house, so.
Oh, and you didn't like it?
Really did not.
Oh.
And I can't even explain why. It tastes like almonds to me, which I like almonds.
Yeah.
Really just grosses me out. I don't know what... I do not know why.
Take it, I guess.
Well, up to you. Like I said, otherwise I'll just pour it out. But I was like, William drinks this shit. I don't know why. Maybe it's unsweetened as part of it, but I'm like...
Yeah. With
diabetes, I can't get sweetened. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to get sweet milk.
Right.
And it does taste like almonds. Like, I can't... It's not like I'm like, oh, it tastes like poop or, you know... I mean, it's not like a gross thing. I don't know why.
Well, it's mostly... You know,
it just gets me.
Most of the time, we put it in things.
Yeah.
We're eating with cereal or something. We don't.
That's what I did. I ate it with cereal.
Oh, you didn't like it even.
I could taste the flavor through the cereal, and it.
And that was bad.
Ruined it for me.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It was bad.
Yeah, I don't
like.
Know for sure.
What I did after that first experiment was I just ate cereal dry for a couple days until I could get to the store and buy some milk.
Oh wow.
I really did not like it, and I don't know why. It's very weird. Anyway, how was your 2 weeks?
Oh, well, not very much to report. I think it's been in the last 2 weeks that I saw Man of Steel, though.
Oh.
Did you see it?
No, probably won't.
Really?
Yeah. A, don't really care. B, haven't heard really good things.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
What was your take, DC boy?
Well, speaking... as objectively as I can manage, which...
is more objectively than most.
Well, maybe. I would say that it probably is on par with...
Careful.
It's on par with Thor.
I feel good about that.
I would even say shot for shot. Like, you know... you know...
Wow.
How, you know how the best parts of Thor was, like, not on the planet? That's pretty much the same
yeah,
as this
yeah,
film,
yeah.
too. The best parts were on Krypton.
Does that mean there's a cool best friend actress who refers to things as Meow Meow? Because I loved her. Is that Jimmy Olsen in this one?
No, Jimmy Olsen's not in it.
What the fuck?
Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but no, he's not in it.
Spoiler alert, no Jimmy Olsen. For those of you who have you've just lost the tension of wondering when is Jimmy Olsen going to come on the screen.
Unless I just missed Jimmy in it.
Or you just spoiled the whole plot line where there's this guy in the movie that you think is Jimmy Olsen and it turns out he's not.
But, so, you know, and I think that it's probably going to do well enough that they have other ones. They've already announced that they're going to have a second one and it's going to be Superman versus Batman or Batman versus Superman.
Superman versus, yes. I didn't know that that was... Is that still Zack Snyder and everything?
Like, I don't know who's going to
But yeah, no, they're going to do that one. Also don't care.
For my personal opinion about the film, yeah, I didn't like it. It wasn't my kind of thing, really. Here's the thing. If you watch how it should have ended, you know that...
Oh, yeah.
Flash animation, how it should have ended. If you watch that, they reveal a fairly huge plot hole slash problem in the movie, which it's humorous to watch it. But and I won't get into what it is, obviously, for people who haven't seen the film, but I'll just say this. I don't think that it was unintentional, this plot hole.
You're not making the thing move too much, so make sure you stay on the mic.
Ever since I've been trying to figure out what the writers and the director was trying to accomplish with this film, because it had so many problems from a Superman story perspective. Again, I won't get into the specifics.
Well, Zack Snyder was the director, so what he was going for was whatever will give a 12-year-old boy a boner, basically.
I don't know, but the one thing that made all of the little inconsistencies and problems with it actually make sense was I think they wanted Clark to not be very smart. Like...
Okay.
Well, you know, like... You know how you're watching a film and late in the film they figure out the solution to a problem and you're thinking, why couldn't they have figured that out right at the beginning of the film?
Yeah, I could have got that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This kind of happens in the movie, but it I don't think it was really a mistake or a poor writing or poor storytelling. I think they really wanted Clark to not be very bright so that he couldn't figure that out.
Because, you know, that's a classic thing about Superman is how unintelligent he is.
Well, I think they tie it to the fact that he grew up on a farm.
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
I think what you're supposed to understand is that, yes, he's an alien, of course, and that's a big deal and that made a big deal in the movie. But he was also raised on a farm in the United States, you know, so I think they want the audience to expect from him all that you expect from your average kid who grows up on a farm and goes to a small school in the Midwest, which apparently is not very much.
Nice.
That was the impression I got. Now, you know, maybe
this
other people...
This is funny. I'm discovering all sorts of new movie prejudices, and this is a new one. Prejudiced against farm-raised people.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
Nice.
It seemed like, you know, you were supposed to understand. See, you know, now, I think the justification for this is that the previous way that Clark Kent was portrayed is being actually very reasonably intelligent and, you know, kind of a Boy Scout, you know, a high moral sensitivity and everything, is a very unlikable person in today's social climate.
Yes, but it's fundamental to the character, in my opinion.
Doesn't matter. They wanted people to relate to this.
Because that's what pisses me off, and I try to blame Zack Snyder, because there are parts to what I have heard that I don't want to spoil here that I feel are incredibly out of character for Superman in some basic... Like, if the average person on the street was going to describe Superman, it flies in the face of many concepts that person would use. Nobody who's read fucking comics or anything like that, everybody knows who Superman is. Mm-hmm. If they tried to describe him, yeah, it sounds like there were some issues.
Well, right, but some...
And I blame it on Zack Snyder because those are the kind of fucking movies he
makes. Yeah, but some of those same... Like I said, some of those same issues... One thing that takes all of the weirdness, the things that made me scratch my head and say, what were they thinking when they did this in the film? The one theme that I can connect them all together that where it makes sense is if Clark is actually not very smart.
Mm. Well, there we go.
And he might get smarter, you know, as he'll learn, but starting out, he's not very bright.
Like that's what we find out. He's just bizarro Superman.
Like kind of a bumpkin kind of deal.
Nice.
It's just a little bit.
Nice.
They're not overwhelming with it, but it just helps explain all of the weird things that he does. Like it would be what someone would do if they were just starting out as a superhero and they weren't very smart.
If your Fortress of Solitude is up on blocks in front of your house,
well, yeah,
you might be a redneck Superman.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was going to say redneck, but I mean, you know, a lot of people associate redneck with racist and stuff like that. And there was no indication of like that, but yeah, a little bit ignorant, a little bit like doing things kind of in a backwards way.
Yeah.
Redneck Superman kind of. That's what just, it seemed like to me.
Just a little side note. I'm sure I know the answer already, but passes the Bechdel test, yes or no?
No.
Didn't think so. Didn't think so. Just checking.
I will say that while I didn't have a problem in particular with Cavill, right? Cavill's his name, Henry?
Yeah.
Aside from the fact that they did a horrible job portraying Clark Kent and Superman, he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Adams, is that right?
I have no idea. There is somebody named Amy Adams.
No, playing Lois Lane.
I have no idea.
Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
I hope it's not Amy Adams then, because I like Amy Adams. She tends to be good.
I didn't think she would be good as Lois Lane. There was a chance...
I got to admit, that seems weird to me.
There was a chance she could have been, because I have seen her in some things where she surprised me, but yeah. it was a 50-50 chance, and it didn't work out. She was terrible as Lois. And there were a lot of other, Kevin Costner as Jonathan Kent. Horrible, horrible choice.
I didn't know that one at all.
Lots of story problems in relation to him, but also some of the weird things that he did could be explained by kind of this provincial farmer who's not very smart and can't see the big picture and doesn't understand.
Ben talked to me a little bit about some of that shit.
So, yeah, it was kind of messed up. So, yeah, I was not impressed. I wasn't happy with it at all, which is too bad because I like Superman, as everybody knows. I like DC. Yeah. But in terms of franchises and stuff, I think it sort of goes right along with Thor on the Marvel side. Which, I mean, it's getting another film.
And I did not like that one. So,
yeah, I didn't really like it either.
But I do like the look of the second one.
Yeah.
Because very little of it seems to be on Earth.
But anyway, I'm sure you have.
Well, you had one other thing you did in the last 2 weeks. We got together to write.
Yes, we did. That's right.
I feel like we should unmystery some of this. I think, or did we say this before? We're doing a web series.
Web series.
We're putting together a web series that initially will have a 10-episode arc.
Yes.
We don't need a lot of volunteers for this one because it's fairly small scale, and we've already contacted people who to be involved. At least to a certain degree. I've actually even talked a little bit more to somebody about the possible Dave thing.
Oh, okay.
I actually talked to him.
Okay.
But anyway, we're not going to tell you what it's about or anything, but we are co-authoring, and like this is the first time we've done this, seriously co-writing something together. Not just like somebody writes it and somebody edits or whatever. Because it's of a topic that William couldn't write it on his own. Because normal people wouldn't understand it. And I can give that perspective, but I can't write. So the combination of the two is serving us well. And we so far, we a long time ago mapped out the story arc,
mm-hmm.
and even the individual episode sort of storyboarding
mm-hmm.
on it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a solid first episode, first draft.
It's fun working on it.
We weren't able to get together to write more than once, unfortunately, because of me. I have been spending 2 weeks on my own while the producer is on family vacation, and it is killing me. I really need her to come back, and she's coming back in 2 more days. But I'm a mess. At work, like, coworkers are genuinely telling other coworkers not to bug me right now because I'm just on the verge. I do not function well without my wife for more than a couple days. But I had 2 experiences of a consuming media nature in those 2 weeks that I would like to talk about.
Okay.
One is I went to a movie by myself. First movie by myself I have gone to since The Madness of King George, which was a really fucking long time ago.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
But I went by myself this last weekend to see Pacific Rim.
Oh.
The producer gave me permission because she does not care about Pacific Rim. So she told me I can go see it. I actually decided to spring for 3D, which I normally don't bother with and in fact don't like. But I knew this was going to be about the spectacle and the visuals, so I decided what the hell, and I did it.
Mm-hmm. And?
And what?
Well, let's talk about it.
Well, see, there's a really good segue if you would just say so. What? How was it? Or what did you think, or something like that? Then I'm good. talk about it doesn't work. Because my response is, well, that's a very complicated question to answer. It is very complicated. It's Pacific Rim for specific things for specific people is awesome. Outside of those things and outside of those people, there is no reason to see it.
Yeah, well, I imagine that's true.
Yeah, but it's really extreme. I mean, every movie like has a demographic, but this is a very weirdly stark thing.
And not your demographic, I think.
No. I loved it.
Oh, you did.
I totally fucking loved it. Mm-hmm. Probably won't bother to see it again, unless I go to the theater to see it again. Don't think I'll buy the DVD or anything like that. So there's things I need to explain so you people can understand. If you are of a certain demographic that tends to skew to about my age and tends to skew male, I'll be honest, but this particular demographic are people who grew up on Voltron and Robotech and Transformers and later on Power Rangers, for whom the concept of giant robots fighting giant monsters was something instilled in them early on in an animated or really shitty sort of life-size puppet form, who as children thought this was so fucking awesome. This movie lets you see what your childhood brain thought it would look like real. Mm-hmm. Like real, real. Mm-hmm. This movie, Guillermo del Toro has Guillermo del Toro'd the fuck out of this movie. And for that demographic to see that is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It is amazing. It's about 15 minutes till they do the title sequence. If right after the title sequence the movie had ended, I would have been really surprised. I would not have asked for my money back. Just the first part before the title shows up to me was worth the price of admission.
Was it worth doing 3D also? Or?
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
But I'm going to say this because there's layers to this.
Layers, yes.
Yes, here's the thing.
Here come the layers.
I really don't know if it's ever going to be worth seeing on the small screen. I can't really imagine it being that exciting. It like Jurassic Park. In fact, very much in a way, this reminds me of Jurassic Park in that I saw something I never saw before and in a way I'd never seen before, and it was kind of amazing. So I don't know if it's worth it on the small screen. So if you're going to see it, probably head for the theater. Something to know while you're in there. Any time in the movie there is not one of the three following things on the screen, one or more: a giant robot, a giant monster, or Charlie Day, who plays a character in the movie. Anytime at least one of those three things is not on the screen, the movie sucks. That is only about 15% of the movie, I'd say. So, but just be prepared for that. If you don't see any of those things on the screen, like, okay, this part's going to suck. In terms of story, in terms of dialogue, in terms of whatever, not good and doesn't matter. It's not, whatever. I literally was one of those people who was, and I don't normally do this, I'm like sitting forward in my seat when something exciting happens. I'm like, oh my God, but like I was caught up into it. There's a certain level of buy-in you have to do. You have to be like, we're going to watch what for all intents and purposes looks like real fucking giant robots fighting real fucking giant monsters. And it's going to be fucking amazing. You have to buy into that. And if you do, it's just amazing. But that is a very, very specific thing that only very specific people need. And beyond that, there is nothing, there's no point to this movie. So don't fucking bother. It's not a particularly interesting mythology. It's not a particularly interesting story. Nobody's a particularly good actor except Idris Elba, who honestly is far too good an actor. He is acting his heart out in this thing, and it just really is dissonant. You're like, what the fuck are you doing? Nobody else is trying this hard. You need to stop. He was very impressive, but yeah, it just looked way out of place. So under those circumstances, I would highly recommend it. I would highly recommend it in the theater. Other people I have talked to in a similar vein had some issues. I don't want to say what they are because it's one of those, once it's in your head, it'll ruin the experience kind of thing.
Sure.
But I didn't have that. I bought in from the get-go, and I just sat back and was like, wow.
You haven't gotten to the 3D layer yet.
Oh, the 3D. I can't tell for sure because I don't like 3D. And so what I can say, there was no point where I was like, oh, the 3D is really adding something. What I can say is at no point did the 3D bother me or give me a headache or take me out of the moment ever. And that's never happened before. So if you're at all into 3D, go for it. But mostly the big screen. That's the important part. Also, seriously does not pass the Bechdel test. Not a single aspect. There is literally one female character in the entire movie. Very weird. Or at least one that actually has a line. I mean, I'm sure there were extras and things. But. So yeah, it doesn't pass the Bechdel test. The other thing, and I'm more excited about this. Kumail Nanjiani is many things to many people. No. He is a guy I went to college with.
Yeah, you mention him quite often.
Because he is also currently my favorite stand-up comedian.
Yes.
And he has finally had his one-hour special, his first one ever, air on Comedy Central this last weekend.
Wow.
Called Beta Male. It was really good. I immediately pre-ordered, because it wasn't out yet, the DVD and CD of it, and have since watched that again. I love it. I think he's hilarious. I would recommend you all to check him out, and here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to put links in the show notes. There will be a link to a really great video. It's the one I've shown you, a great video about him. Like it's a section of him doing stand-up on the Conan O'Brien show that is really a good indication of his skill and ability. And then I'm also going to have links because you can buy the DVD and CD. It comes in a combo pack. I highly recommend it. It's like $13, so it's a good deal. Or if you don't even want to do that, Comedy Central's doing their thing now where you can download or stream it for $5. The Comedy Central special. I don't know if that's edited the same way it was in Comedy Central special because the DVD is the full hour. You know, so there's more bits in it and stuff. But both versions are really good. And of course, the Comedy Central one is cheaper. So I'm going to put links to that in the show notes. I encourage you to go check it out. The show notes will exist where they always do, in the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Once again, that's themagicaltalkinghat.com. Check it out. Post some comments. Talk amongst your friends there. It's a wonderful time. Yeah, so that's my 2 weeks.
I do want to say something. I don't often talk about TV shows that we watch because sometimes
Feel like you do. We talk about them a lot.
Well, actually, no. I mean, there's a lot of TV shows that we watch that I'm not that happy with or thrilled with, and I don't just want to sit here and complain about a TV show. But there is one show that we've watched that I just think it was so well put together. Storytelling was great. The writing was great. The acting was phenomenal. It's the Netflix original series, Orange is the
New Black. Have you watched that?
So good.
I've heard good things. I'm waiting for Trish to come back. And, of course, we have a shit ton on the DVR since she's been gone.
It's really excellent. I mean, I really don't have anything to say about it except that. I mean, if you haven't watched it, I do recommend it. Everyone in it is just wonderful, and it's a really
it's got a story. Heck of a cast. Every time I see a commercial, I see another actor. I'm like, really? There? Wow.
Well, and you know, Kate Mulgrew's in it.
Well, inside joke for now.
So, yeah, that was a selling point for our household, but it's just really good. It's that's all I can say about it, really. If you haven't watched it, please.
And it's Netflix, so it should be real easy.
I think
you'll binge like it. Watch the hell out of it.
Well, it's 13 episodes, 13 hour long episodes, so it's pretty manageable. You can watch all of them in a week or so.
I'm sure we'll get to it. We may have to do House of Cards first, and like I said, we got a bunch of crap. Already a new season of Project Runway.
We didn't like House of Cards that much. We might go back and try.
Did you watch the whole thing, or did you just watch the pilot?
Just a couple episodes. We just couldn't really get into it that much. But Orange is the New Black, really good. I mean, everything about it was good, really. You just don't get quality television like that, you know? There's always something wrong with it.
Yes.
Like, the story arcs aren't very well thought out, or the show for show, the writing isn't that great. But something about it is, you know, I always go back to Warehouse 13 about the whole, there's a lot of things about it that you like, but it's such a horrible show, and you almost, yeah. But you just like seeing certain things over and over again, certain characters over and over again. It's so rare to watch a TV show that you just don't have any complaint about it. You know, you just, it's really well done, and you like to watch it. It doesn't come around very often for me. There's only been a handful of shows like that. In fact, Carnival was a show like that. It got canceled.
I know. I really wanted to watch it, except then it got canceled and unresolved, really. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. It's also why I don't watch Deadwood. Same thing. I'm like, I'm just going to get such an unresolved feel for that.
We didn't like Deadwood, but Carnival was really good. And they had a second season that they rushed a little bit because they were worried about getting canceled. But even then, it was still good. You know how sometimes a TV show, its second season, it'll kind of be a train wreck because even if the first season was good, the second season they're trying to rush through and get a bunch of stuff done or trying to maybe save the show. And you felt that a little bit. The storytelling was a little bit rushed compared to the first season, but it was still good.
Well, it had
how they did it.
Crazy robust mythology that they already wrote out.
Yes.
And it had layer upon layer of symbolism. I say this as somebody who hasn't watched it. I recently went down a Wikipedia rabbit hole with Carnival, so I know a lot about it at the moment.
Really good.
And they just really, it's in the same way as Babylon 5, it was a whole thing, like, in somebody's brain before they even started making it. And so it has internal consistency because of that. And unlike Babylon 5, at no point does it appear they sacrificed that internal consistency.
Well, they only had a couple seasons.
These things
so
out, yeah.
They only had a couple seasons, but man, it was just episode for episode was good. It's kind of my standard now. I compare shows to it. Of course, there's hardly any show that stacks up. But
mostly just that celebrity diving reality program does. No. I'm playing with a balloon for those of you who think you hear disgusting biological noises in the back. I'm playing with an uninflated balloon.
We could probably start drawing things out of the hat, maybe. You think? I think that would be.
Yeah, but I think this is more fun.
No, I don't think so.
Do you remember this as a kid?
Uh-huh. Let's draw things out of the hat.
All right.
Oh, are you going to keep doing that the whole show?
I guess we'll find out.
Why do you even have...
The show's more than half over, so...
Why do you even have balloons laying around?
The producer was given a package from some family members that was all sunshiny things, so it included yellow balloons.
I see. Blood Sparrow has a question.
Blood Sparrow!
Breakfast eggs.
Oh, crap. Hold on one sec.
Hold on.
Okay, finish the question.
Breakfast eggs, how do you like them? And parenthetically it says, William eats those, right? I like mine poached or
no,
over
no,
easy
no,
blood sparrow sense.
We're not going to do this yet. I just wanted to get the question out there. Now to talk about something else.
What?
I know. There's one other thing that happened to me.
Oh, okay.
And it's important.
All right.
Because I got together for lunch, as I do occasionally with a couple of people that I used to work with.
And you had eggs?
No.
How were they?
I didn't have eggs.
Did you have them over easy or poached?
No.
Them fried?
Dude, you're going to feel really guilty in a minute here. The reason I'm bringing this up is one of the two people in question is longtime hard hat, possibly hard hat number 3, as I've been thinking about it recently, Beth.
Beth?
Beth is one of these two people. In fact, while we were working together was when we started the podcast, and I guilted her into listening, even though she had never listened to a podcast before, and she has stuck with it from day one.
She even had a comment in the last
show,
I think.
And so, yes, I had lunch with her, which was hilarious. It was her and another guy that we used to work with.
When
none of us work together anymore.
Guilty?
Because you shouldn't be intruding in my story that involves one of our diehard listeners.
Oh, well, I apologize, Beth.
It's bad for Beth. This isn't just aggrandizement to me. It's aggrandizement to her. But, yeah, so we got together, and it was hilarious because she and I got there first, and I was like, okay, so I don't need to catch you up at all, because you know everything that's going on in my life. She's like, yeah, and I'm like, and I know a fair bit of yours, but do we have any idea what Chris has been up to? She said, no, so mostly we just had Chris talk, because we're like, we already know, and I said, and she knows everything about me, because not only is she a diehard listener, she keeps up.
Yeah, she does.
Unlike some Welsh people out there.
She's Welsh.
Not naming any names.
I didn't know
Beth. No, she's not Welsh.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I don't know how many Welsh listeners we might have, so it could be anyone I'm referring to. All right, now, back to the thing. Eggs. William does eat eggs as sort of a weird vegan treat.
I haven't had eggs for a very long time.
Really?
Yes.
You didn't have eggs when we went to IHOP, that's true.
No, I haven't had them for a long time.
Before, when we would go to IHOP, you would get eggs and you would be kind of excited because you hadn't had them in a while.
The thing about eggs is I don't object to eating them, obviously. I mean, I eat things with eggs in them, like cookies and things like that.
Children?
No. Eggs just...
Sometimes children have eggs in them.
Cooked. It depends on what kind of... Sometimes I can be squeamish about it, actually, and other times I'm fine.
Really? But, yeah. How does that work?
I don't know. It's just one of those things. But when I do have eggs, I order them over hard.
Ah.
That's
interesting.
Because that's the way Mom always made them. So.
Yes.
But that's, and hard-boiled eggs, too. Mom used to make, deviled eggs, I guess.
Deviled eggs are quite tasty. At one time, the producer found a list on the internet that was like 14 different kinds of deviled eggs. It was awesome. It had how to basically boil the eggs and everything, and then it had various things you could add to the yolk before you piped it out to make different flavors.
Oh, yeah.
And there was horseradish and sour cream and chive. There was an oyster one that involved putting some cocktail sauce in it and putting a little baby smoked oyster in the egg first, and just all sorts of ones. It was amazing.
Yeah, ours was pretty standard, I think, like...
Mayo. And some paprika on the top.
I'm not even sure mayo. I think, like, Miracle Whip, even.
Ooh!
And paprika on the top, right? So yeah, that's. I've never really liked eggs any other. Well, scrambled, I guess, you know, but not over.
Anybody
easy
who likes
not runny, I don't like runny eggs.
I have yet to ever find somebody who likes eggs XYZ way, but not scrambled. Everybody's like, oh, I don't like them too hard. I don't like them too soft. But anybody who likes eggs at all. Is fine with them scrambled.
That's well, or in a quiche too, or something.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
fine. That's fine. But I don't eat eggs very often. But I wouldn't say I'm. I mean, on any given day, or maybe during any given month, I might be vegan. You know, but then, mm-hmm.
but yeah. any second, like right now, he's got a fried egg in his mouth. I'm not even sure where it came from.
But you know,
come on, yes, and you're supposed to be. I don't know. If I, no, come on.
You need to answer this question. How do you like eggs?
It's almost as complicated as what did I think of Pacific Rim, which no one asked me. You just told me to talk about it. You didn't ask me. Remember, this was a problem we had in the beginning of the show. You don't pay attention to what I say. Anyway. Don't worry. Mommy and Daddy are not getting divorced. That's like
window.
The fourth time I've said that on this show.
Part of it's the
show,
windows open, and I keep getting distracted. By
I thought I closed.
By.
Oh, you mean the curtain?
The curtains
okay.
are.
I'm
open.
Like, I closed
no,
the
no,
window.
No, the curtains are open, so when people walk by, I look, and then I don't pay attention.
Anyway, eggs.
I can't pay attention to you and outside at the same time.
Eggs. I am a very big fan of eggs. I've only discovered this in the last several years. I'm a very big fan of eggs. Used to for a while, part of my breakfast routine was I would essentially scramble one egg. I kind of got out of the habit of that, and I'm trying to switch over to hard-boiled, because then I can just do it on the weekend and have them there, but I'm getting lazy about that, too. I love egg salad. I do my own egg salad, which is just chopped up eggs, mix it with mayonnaise. Love it. Love deviled eggs. I love eggs. They're wonderful. I eat them quite a lot. When I am out ordering, like, breakfast or whatever, and it's the, you know, two eggs any style sort of deal, this is where it gets interesting.
Really? This is where it gets
this
interesting?
This is where it gets interesting.
Because I've been waiting
this is,
for it
this
to get
is,
interesting.
This is where we go deep inside
Everybody's
the world
waiting for interesting.
Of short-order cooking.
Okay, go.
All right.
Let's get interesting.
most of my life. At this point, it's probably like half of my life. But anyway, for many years growing up, I would order my eggs over medium. I was not pleased with this because it was generally too runny.
Well, then why'd you keep doing it?
Because what's the next step?
I don't know.
I was under the impression, as are most people, the next step is ordering them over hard.
Okay, well.
I did not like that either.
What is it you wanted?
What I wanted was a very specific sort of thing wherein the yolk is still orange and still a little oozy but won't run.
I think I know what you're talking about.
And
that really should be what medium is, I think.
That, which is why I would always order that way. And sometimes if it was a cook who was kind of bad at medium, it would be closer to that, and I liked that. But so one summer I worked at an IHOP. And that summer, on a slow night, I mentioned to the cook, this is how I like my eggs. Mm-hmm. And he says, that's a thing. I don't know that he phrased it that way. We weren't saying that back then as much. This was the 90s, kids. But he says, I said, what is it? He says, it's called over medium well.
Really?
And I said, that's really? And he says, yes. And any true short order cook will know that term. Hmm. So I started doing it, and I would ask, I was like, if I say over medium well, do you know what that means? And sometimes they did and sometimes they didn't. And it was very tricky because I discovered if I can't have over medium well and my choice is over medium or over hard, mm-hmm. I actually prefer over hard.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it started to be my question, do you know what over medium well is? Because if you don't, I'll get over hard. If you do, that's what I want. And it slowly has worked out. And in fact, our local, Midtown over here, our local sort of diner spot or whatever, would do it. And then it was probably a year ago, I ordered it one time and he said, we just got the button on the machine that you can specifically push for that. And I've discovered also over medium well is apparently difficult because
it's
an in-between gray area. And so I order them that way and people sometimes get what I want and sometimes not.
Why
enough.
Isn't
sometimes
it just medium?
Much.
I mean, so there's two kinds of runny?
Yes, 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 because over easy and over medium, you can tell the difference if they're side by side, because over easy is really runny, and over medium is theoretically starting to coagulate, but it still kind of runs.
Huh.
And then, of course, sunny side up. I don't think I've ever seen sunny side up eggs in person. I think I've just, like, heard about them and stuff like that, because I assume it's very runny on the top. I like poached eggs, but they're very hard to do. Soft-boiled eggs. I grew up with a fair bit of soft-boiled eggs. Those can be nice because those are kind of like over medium well. The yolk is very similar. Mm-hmm. I have been told a coddled egg is amazing. I have never had one. And also, somebody recently figured out how to basically cook the egg incredibly slowly in the shell, and it basically comes out fully cooked but essentially as liquid as a raw egg. And it's some trick where you increase the temperature incredibly slowly until you get the internal temperature of the egg just to where it's safe, which I want to say is like 140 or something. And it's like a pudding almost, they say. I'm very curious about that, too.
Well, honestly, I've never been a big fan of eggs anyway. I just never cared for them that much. And, I mean, even if I went someplace like IHOP for breakfast, I would almost never order eggs.
You were very excited, though, one time.
Well, yeah.
I think your household had been really heavily vegan, so you hadn't had any for a long time, and you're like, that'll be fun.
And they were good, I seem to recall, but... I'm just not a huge fan.
I love eggs, and I've started eating them more and more, and they haven't affected my cholesterol at all, so. Because it's one of those things, one of those many sort of misconceptions in medicine that they're starting to adjust to is eating stuff that has cholesterol in it doesn't necessarily raise your cholesterol. Mm. As soon as it does, I'm fucked, but for the moment, I'm all good.
Well, Blitz Barrel likes hers poached or over easy. So
poached is nice.
Maybe she'll just dip her toast in.
I have a fair bit of Egg Benedict. I have been known to order that in many occasions in many forms, and that's poached eggs. I tried to poach eggs myself. I suck at it. It's hard to do.
It is?
Yeah, basically you make a cyclone of water that's hot in the pan, and then you crack the egg into it, and so the cyclone helps it, keeps its shape. But it's basically soft boiling an egg outside its shell.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do. Except they have, like, poachers and things. They have essentially, like little molds that then you dunk in the water, and that makes it easy. Mm. But
you don't have a poacher.
No. It's too bad, because we have a lot of rabbits that run outside, and that would be handy.
I suppose we can move on to another.
Redneck Superman.
Yep.
I think that's what we're calling this episode.
People might disagree with me, but that's just what it seemed like they were going for to me.
Redneck Superman.
The only thing that made sense.
He has the power to play every part in the jug band at the same time. This is from Stephen Gerbic from Serbia.
Serbia, yeah.
Yes.
Our international audience.
So we're very excited. We love Stephen.
Yes, we do.
But we can also divine from this, quite possibly, nay, even likely, this will be a fairly deep cut involved RPG question, which you won't understand in the slightest.
Okay.
And I will barely understand and therefore be able to sort of translate for you. And it'll lead to some fascinating conversation.
You think?
Well, remember the one with the vampires and the hunters and the fairies and everybody in the same city? And what was that? We had a whole thing.
I don't remember that.
Nope. It was crazy.
Don't remember.
Oh, look. It is like that.
Okay.
Warhammer 40K question. Technically, it says Warhammer 40,000, but I know you're supposed to say Warhammer 40K.
Okay.
Can 20 trillion screaming zealots be wrong? And are you familiar with the lore / books?
Well, yes.
Can they?
And no.
Are you? All right. I am a little bit. I still agree with you. Yes, they can be wrong. I'm a little bit familiar with this. I'm probably going to get some of the history wrong. But there's a company out there that made a miniatures war game. I believe what started was Warhammer Fantasy. I think. I may get this wrong. But Warhammer Fantasy, which was a different fantasy world, D&D-ish, but it had its own internal mythology. I remember orcs were a pretty bad thing in general. Orcs versus all the nice humans and elves and shit. And it was mostly just miniature games, and you would buy different units and stuff, and you would play against each other on big tables. And eventually they expanded into a science fiction genre called Warhammer 40K or Warhammer 40,000, and that's because it was set in the year 40,000 AD. It was set in the 410th century or whatever. I don't, way out there.
Way out there.
40,000. The year 40,000. Oh yeah, the 41st millennia. That's what I meant to say. And despite borrowing some aspects, the setting was completely unrelated to the fantasy setting. And it was kind of interesting. What it described was a gigantic pan-galactic empire of humanity that was based all on a single emperor and an enormous, how do I put this? Religious bureaucracy and a giant military complex. And the whole thing was done via a huge religious-based military. And the Emperor was at the center of it, and the Emperor and humanity was all that was good, and bad things were things that involved aliens or psychic abilities or pretty much anything unknown. But it was a huge pan-galactic empire, so things didn't move very quickly. So the army was very autonomous in places, and there would be these humongous, like way bigger than Star Destroyer ships that had just huge armies on them, and they would go to places and just, you know, wipe out entire solar systems because they were full of heretics or whatever, and it would be years later before anybody would know, and all sorts of things. So it was this really fascinating dystopia on just an enormous scale.
Okay.
And the reason I learned about it is because they eventually, not long ago, came up with a series of tabletop RPGs based in this setting, which I was way more interested in because I don't give a damn about military mini games. But they started with one called Dark Heresy that was basically you played members of the Inquisition, the actual church, to, like, you know, go and root out heretics and stuff like that. And then they did ones that involved being in the military and ones that involved trading and stuff like that. And so I looked into all this, and it was really kind of interesting. But yeah, it's based around this intense religious fanaticism that is used to sort of run the universe.
And those are the 20 trillion screaming zealots?
I believe so, yes.
They can be wrong and often are.
Yes. And it's really an interesting setting. I actually have a book. It's an omnibus of a trilogy about one particular inquisitor that somebody wrote years ago. There's quite a few novels based in the setting.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's very rich, especially for... A lot of it ends up as military sci-fi, because one of the big things about Warhammer 40K is they have space marines, and it's basically big, genetically engineered, juiced-up infantry soldiers, and that's what you do, is you just drop hundreds of those on a planet, and they're in giant power armor, and all they do is kill shit and things, and so they just take care of everything for you, and there's lots of different legions of space marines that are, you know, famous for different things and all this stuff.
I see.
And so a lot of it ties into that. But yeah, I was really fascinated by the first one because it was all the church and the Inquisition and all that. And I always find that kind of stuff a really ripe setting to work with. So yeah, I would recommend anybody who's curious to look into it. As mythology, it's very fascinating. And the internet's full of, you know, timelines saying what happened in the last 40,000 years and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, you should check it out. Ask your local librarian. If you'd like to learn more about Warhammer 40,000, ask your local librarian. Or a minister, or a teacher. Someone you trust. I like mixing together my educational and my Stranger Danger PSAs.
Yes. Maybe we should draw something else.
All right, we better hurry, though.
Okay. I didn't have very much to say about that one, obviously.
And you did not. It pained you.
No, it didn't pain me. I just didn't have anything to say.
Pain.
Blood Sparrow wants to know.
Blood Sparrow.
Why do you think people in the UK call cookies biscuits?
I think it's more interesting to say, why do we call them cookies? Because I assume they were biscuits first.
I was just going to say the same thing. I don't know why we call them cookies.
But we get into other weird shit with, like, what they call corn and stuff like that, too. Because corn, as we know, it didn't exist when the word corn came up.
Yeah,
and so that generally referred to wheat, yeah. And then maize came around, and then it all just went to shit.
I have no idea.
I don't know
why we call. I mean, I've often wondered that too. Where did the word cookies come from? Why do we call them that? I mean, I figured that the UK calls them biscuits because that's just what they called them.
But okay,
we are the ones that changed it.
But so let's do this: an American biscuit. Is there a UK equivalent? That's not a scone. It's different than a scone. What would they call it in the UK? Maybe just sort of an unsweetened cake?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what, like a buttermilk biscuit here, what if you wanted
exactly.
that in the UK? Well, they have KFC.
They have KFC.
So what do they call them?
I don't remember. I was there. I ate at KFC in London.
Did you have a buttermilk American biscuit?
I don't remember. It was like 15 years ago. Oh, my God. I'm so old.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where the word cookie comes from or why we use it.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was like reverse engineer, like Cookie Monster came first and they just thought that was a cute name and they're like, he's always eating biscuits. Maybe we should call them cookies.
Well, is there something in the UK that they call cookies? Like,
no, at this point, most of them, if you say cookie, they'll know you mean, oh, biscuits and you're fucking American. No, I don't believe there's something different.
Okay. So
I'm betting Wikipedia could completely clear this up, but I am trying to rein in my looking shit up while on the air tendency, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, we should.
I do find it fascinating, though. Let's pretend we're in America for a minute.
Okay.
All right.
I think we can do that.
What's jelly?
Well, in America, it's a fruit product, it's like preserves, like fruit preserves, but it's I don't know how to describe it.
Well, I think the technical definition involves it doesn't contain actual pieces of fruit.
Right. It's like
juice.
It's like juice, but it's almost gelatinized.
It's a fruit spread that's sort of gelatinized juice. Yes.
Juice, right.
What is jam?
Well, jam is closer to the preserves where it's actually got some fruit in it, I think.
Yes. So what are preserves?
I suppose it's like on a spectrum. If it's really, really chunky and fruity, then it would be fruit preserves. But there are other kinds of preserves.
Yes, like, I think that one may actually be more of an umbrella term. I don't know that it's on the spectrum.
Yeah.
I think it's the jelly is the fruit juice and the jam is the other. Yeah. And that's like a serious definition in this country.
Yeah, I suppose so.
In the UK, what we would call jelly, what would they call it?
Well, I have no idea.
Jam. What we would call jam, what would they call it?
I don't know.
Also jam. Preserves, I think much the same. There is something they call jelly. You know what it is?
No.
Of course not. It's what we call jello or gelatin dessert.
Oh,
that's what they call jelly over there. Mm. So it's very weird. All the same words. Everything just shifted slightly, and it's very weird.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where the name cookies... I mean, I suppose...
The barbecue sauce?
Cook, no. I suppose the word cook is in there for a reason, but I don't know, you know.
Also, E. I feel like E is probably there because it's meant to be.
Cookies.
Originally spelled... K-U-K-I when they first came out.
Don't know. And we're trying to avoid looking things up on the internet because...
Just this time.
Well, I,
as soon as we're done, I'll probably look it up.
Yeah, I just think it's better for us not to do that on the show.
You've always hated things.
No, it's just... It's kind of a deal where we draw things out of the hat. We talk about... It's part of not rehearsing beforehand.
And like, because we don't want to get to the show idea that we had before, which was just we look up shit on Wikipedia and read it out loud.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have to admit when we don't know something.
As thrilling as a show that would be.
And maybe it'll force us to make something up that's interesting or funny, even though that rarely happens. I mean, you make up funny and interesting things.
Yes, I do.
But I suppose we've run out of time then.
Yeah, we're about done.
Well, thanks, Blood Sparrow and Steven.
And Blood Sparrow again. Blood Sparrow gets two thanks.
Yes, okay.
I'm just saying.
Two thanks for Blood Sparrow.
Favoritism. Wait, what?
I don't feel like this was a very good show.
Really?
Yeah, I think we... it's mostly me, of course, as usual. I just didn't have anything to say.
Well, I will agree that I think anything wrong that happens to you. You were quieter than usual.
I just didn't have
But I think it was a good show.
Well, good.
Maybe our best ever.
Maybe that's the key. I just shut up and let you talk, and then...
All right. Anyway, we're going to bicker about this for another couple hours, so you guys go along. We'll catch up with you later. Have a good week, everybody.
Yep.
We love you.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.